Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Zurian Show, and as always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and of course, good spirits. As for me, I'm doing fine. And ladies and gentlemen, again, today we have a treat for you. We have a wonderful, action-packed, detail-oriented, superb young lady that has multiple talents, and she is willing to share most, I can't say all, but most of her gifts with you, as in helping you to become better in what you're doing, to work on your self-confidence, all of those different things. So today's show is 5 critical mistakes leaders make when they do not add stories to their speeches. You know, everybody says that you have to add stories to what you do. Why? Because then you get people to actually listen. And today, ladies and gentlemen, Jennifer Samuels Chance, who is the creator and founder of Your Endless Possibilities, Inc., is the lady that's going to share her years of talent, experience, and also her phenomenal ability as a storyteller and as a person that can help entrepreneurs and show entrepreneurs how to express their stories. And this lady is an international speaker, the owner of her own company, and she helps people, entrepreneurs, salespeople, leaders, professionals, leaders and professionals to help actually build and make themselves more profitable in their business relationships with the people that work with them and the people that work for them by using a phenomenal ability that she has, and that's the ability to tell stories and to make people not only hear you, but listen and want to hear. So with that said, Jennifer, how are you today?
I'm doing fabulously well. How are you?
Ah, I told you, I'm still trying to get as good as you, but there's still hope and prayer.
Keep working on it. You're fine. You're doing fine.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Coming from an expert, I feel as though I'm lifting up to that next evolutionary step. So how's life in sunny Florida?
Well, right now, sunny Florida is not so sunny today. Looking outside, it looks like it's going to start raining, and that's okay. We don't mind a little rain once in a while to keep things nice and green. So, yeah, Florida is nice as Florida.
Okay, well, I'm not going to ask you, is it better than England this time of the year? Because I know that you're where you were born and raised, and you're also what I would consider a world traveler. So I'm not going to even ask that question because I'm not trying to go down that slippery slope. So could you tell us really quickly a little bit about you, and then let's hit on the topic to help everybody do better telling stories.
Well, a little bit about me is that basically I spend my time, I think I was probably brought on this earth to help people communicate better. That's the bottom line behind what I do. So what I do and I actually get hired to do is basically I'm a speech coach and a speaker, and I use my experience, 12 years of experience as a speaker and a professional storyteller, to basically help leaders and professionals really know how to communicate well to audiences. It's amazing how people's perception, how their view of you can be vastly influenced by what you put out there. And I do believe that a lot of people put a lot of influence and a lot of effort into their professional skills and their expertise, but don't necessarily translate that into the way that they actually publicly speak to others. So that's what I do. I work on people with their speeches. And what my specialty is storytelling. I grew up as the only child of 2 storytellers, my parents, and had no idea how much that influenced my entire life until I became a professional and realized that not everybody told stories the way my parents did. and I gathered, I guess, the skills of listening and telling through them, from them, and that's what I use in my work today. So it's enabled me to travel the world and help numerous businesses and individual leaders to really just be much better communicators.
Outstanding. Well, I have to definitely say that I have attended, you know, some of your one of your trainings or your trainings, and I was definitely impressed, and I'm also honored that you came on the show, because you are truly a gifted individual, and you know, everybody in that audience when I was there definitely got a heck of a lot of knowledge, information, and help that they needed to help them become better storytellers and presenters and all of the above. So thank you. And with that said, what makes your speech or your presentation boring as heck?
I was trying to find verbiage for that, and I was like, you know what? That's what I love to do is use languaging that we say in our minds, but we don't necessarily want to say out loud. And all I did was reflect on some speakers I've seen. I'm sure some speakers you've seen, and what people tell me as they encounter speakers. And bottom line is, when people are boring as heck, it's usually because the speech is dry. And what I mean by dry is that there's nothing to grab onto. It may be a speech that is all fact-driven, full of just content and information and data and information and data and information and data. And if you're giving a report, like you have to give like an update report on a certain situation, and all the audience is actually wanting is information and data, then that's perfectly fine. What I am saying is, though, that, and I'm sure you may agree with this, you may see and hear a lot of people that really want to share their information with people. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But they don't realize that if it's all information and data and there's no humanity to it, then people are going to tune out. There's only a certain amount of information that people can actually, you know, retain in their brains. And also, too, especially if the speaker tends to be very logically minded, which means they are straightforward and A plus B equals C and this is the way things are, black or white, if they tend to speak that way, they've got to realize that according to research, the human mind is not actually wired that way. In fact, I came across a quote from a cognitive scientist. His name is Roger Shank, and he says, humans are not ideally set up to understand logic. They're ideally set up to understand stories. And okay, if you think of the way that we transmitted information throughout all of the ages, it's really been through stories. So, you know, I'm not here to doubt and to cry down those logical speakers out there. I do say go ahead and do your thing. Just make sure you put some stories in there. When audiences listen to speeches and presentations, the question that's usually uppermost in their mind, even though they may not be saying it out loud, is, what's in it for me? Why am I listening to this? What does this mean to me? And, again, the data and information will give them part of the reasoning behind that. But if you don't have a story or an anecdote that ties the two together, the content and the reasoning and logic, then people's brains just get frozen. And they stay there listening, but part of them are still searching for the answer, what's in it for me, what's in it for me. So that's why you really got to put stories in there to connect the dots, so to speak, so that people can follow along and then it makes sense to them.
I totally understand. So what do we do to put that invisible barrier around us which will make people want to listen and I guess trust us?
Okay. Well, what I said, what happens is if you don't make that connection, which means you're speaking in front of audiences and there is no story, nothing for them to grab onto, that's the invisible barrier. So if you're there in an audience and you're watching somebody and you're like, yeah, okay, what's the point? What's in it for me? Then because you haven't made a connection, you don't have any empathy for the person, you don't see where they're coming from, then you may be very hesitant to trust them, because you don't know them. And I'm not saying that you have to know them personally. You don't have to go to their house and eat barbecue. That'd be nice, but no. But there's nothing to tie you to them. So you're going to be, there's going to be a barrier in between you, which means you may listen to them. You may even buy into what they're saying, but you're like, well, I don't know if I know this person. Shoot, I have nothing to grab onto. And especially those of you in leadership, if you don't have trust when you are communicating with your staff, number one, and also especially with your clients, too, and your customers, then you really don't have anything much at all. So it's one of those things that's never really talked about. But, again, if there's no connection between people, then they don't trust you. And if they don't trust you, they won't buy from you or they won't buy into you. So it's very, very, very important that you take time to develop that rapport, which is what the stories do. At least they get to see a glimpse of you. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're – in fact, what it does probably show you as a person that has some humanity.
Mm-hmm.
If you share a story that's personal, then it shows that you're real. And hopefully you share a story where you weren't perfect all the time. And when people hear that, they say, oh, okay, they make stories, they make mistakes just like I do. So therefore, they'll open up the gate a little bit and be far more willing to listen and trust you than somebody that's perfect all the time. And I call them shiny, when they're too shiny. And when people are too shiny, they can't grab onto you. So that's the invisible barrier which people unknowingly put up when they don't put stories in their speeches.
Right. Plus that story is something that is natural, so I guess it would flow better, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, there are right and wrong ways to tell stories, and that's a whole other that's a whole other show, Z. But bottom line is at least share something. My experience has been, especially with dealing with CEOs and very high-level managers, is that some of them are scared or afraid, apprehensive, to share stories about themselves, especially the not-so-perfect stories. And I understand that. That may be coming from a place of not wanting to seem vulnerable, because in some circles, when you are vulnerable, it's also almost like you're saying, oh, I'm weak, I'm, you know, powerless. But my studies have shown, and those successful leaders around the world that do employ stories as part of their way of being have found that this is actually a strength builder. It is something that really does tie you to people. And people will still give you the respect and credibility for achieving your high status as a leader. And also, too, because you've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, gone through the fire and done all of the things to help, you know, you've to make those mistakes and you've learned from them, then people are far more likely to grab onto you. So, yeah, tell those stories.
Interesting. I know not long ago I was listening to Darren Harding, and he was talking about a show that he was doing. And he ended up doing an interview on Success, I think it was in October 2003, and he was talking about they were looking for CEOs of very successful companies, and they wanted them to tell their story on how they turned a failure into a success. And he was saying that he had a really hard time getting people to actually come on that episode of Success and be in the magazine because they didn't want to associate themselves with failure. But you're saying that by telling some of those stories, you actually have a better chance of, and I don't want to say this wrong, connecting with the audience and them listening to you, as you know, as in seeing you as shiny and sitting on some pedestal?
Correct. People make mistakes all day long, every day. I know you've made a couple. I know you're perfect. But I'm sure somewhere in your life you've made a mistake and learned from it, as have I. And people get inspiration from that. They get encouragement from that. So if you have a leader that has never seemed to have made a mistake ever, and you're there doing your job and, you know, doing the best you can, and something happens and you make a mistake, whatever that is, you're far less likely to admit it. You're far less likely to ask for help because it's going to be a source of embarrassment or shame. But if you heard a speech where your leader said, well, you know what, one time I made this mistake, blah, 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 I learned from it, yet here I am today. And that's far more likely to encourage people listening to say, well, yeah, I do make a mistake, and here's what I've learned from it. Or, more importantly, if they make a mistake and they need help, they'll ask for it. Because, again, they won't be stuck in embarrassment and shame. So it's very powerful.
Cool. Yeah, and we were also, earlier, we were talking about Seth Godin, and he says, how you say, make a lot of, like, go ahead and make the mistakes, make a lot of mistakes, and make them early and learn from them. So
there you go.
I guess my next question, so the overall fact is that stories can be powerful teaching tools, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. As opposed to lecturing to people, you know, I mean, if you are teaching them a specific skill, specific, you know, process, then that's one thing. That's training per se. But if it is a new process that needs to go on board with an organization, sometimes some people find it very difficult to receive the information directly. So mm-hmm. if you couch it in a story, then it's a softer blow. I think the story is kind of the soft entry into that. And mm-hmm. what happens is, too, because it's a story, when people tend to get more into the creative side of their brain, which is typically known as the right side of the brain, which is open and creative and welcoming of information. So if you're going to talk about a process that's new coming on board with your organization and it's totally opposite from whatever is in play right now, but you're now going to incorporate a story that shows the benefits of this and maybe how a client in testing has benefited from this, then people are mildly say, okay, I can see now. I don't like this process, but at least I can see how it can possibly work because they've heard the story. So
right.
It's amazing how stories can be, you know, very, very much teaching tools. And I'll actually give you an example that happened to me a couple of weeks ago that it looked, seemed a bit different, but the same thing. I had to go to the optician to get my eyes checked. And to be honest, over the last couple of years, I buy a lot of sunglasses because I live here in Florida. Sun, you need glasses. Because I'm really destructive with my glasses, I tend not to spend a whole bunch of money on them because I destroy them quickly. So if they have UV coating or not, for me that's optional. I usually go for style more so than, you know, functionality. So I went to the opticians, and this particular optician, she tested my eyes, and she said, now I've been hearing this before, you know, Jennifer, get stuff with UV coating. Jennifer, get eyeglasses with UV coating. Yeah. So she said, in this one instance, Jennifer, it seems like you have beginning signs of glaucoma. So I freaked out. I was like, what? And she said, no, just very minute signs of glaucoma. Are you wearing your sunglasses? So I said, yeah, you know, had to kind of defend myself. And then she brought forth a story where she says, well, you know, you want to make sure you wear your sunglasses because I have a couple of clients, they're twins, and for the last couple of years, I've been really, you know, teaching them they've got to wear their glasses, got to wear their glasses. One twin has been wearing glasses with UV coating, no problem. The other twin, like me, has been stubborn and just goes for style and not for, you know, the actual function of the glasses. Well, they came in recently for an exam, and sure enough, the twin with the that did the what the doctor ordered has no signs of glaucoma, and the second twin does. I will tell you, that hit me like a 2x4 on my head. Even though logically and, you know, I know better, rationality, I know better, but because she told me that story and I could physically in my mind see the difference between the exam going with twin number one and everything being fine and twin number two because she didn't follow instructions. So needless to say, I came home and I do have several pairs of glasses. I threw out all of the ones that didn't have UV coating. And mm-hmm. now I'm looking at investing in a better set of glasses that are stronger and will be withstand, you know, kind of withstand my abuse so that I can make sure that my eyes are totally protected while I'm here in the sun. Again, story. So stories can be anything. You know, it doesn't have to be a long teaching thing. It could be just a, here's what happened, and here's why you need to change your behavior.
Understand. Yeah, I used to use stories when I talked to my staff back when I used to run information systems contracts, and a lot of people used to not get it, you know, and I used to be like, listen, if I tell you a story, it gives you something to relate to. If I just tell
right.
you what to do, now you're a drone, you know, and
correct.
You don't see the purpose. So it used to be funny. So overall, it gives you a chance to open people's minds to new possibilities. Does that sound correct?
Definitely. And that's the main thing. People, especially when it comes to imparting news, knowledge, or speech on change, a lot of people don't like change. They're very scared of it. They're not quite sure what the future is going to hold. So mm-hmm. when you include stories where you can demonstrate through the story how the change is beneficial, then people are likely to take that on and consider it and be far more likely and willing to make the changes than just shut down and be stubborn and, you know, be resistant. So, yeah, stories definitely do open up people's minds. They see themselves, if you tell the story well enough, they will see themselves in your story. I always say stories are a little journey that you take people on, and if you tell the story well enough and use all of the senses, you know, oh, I can smell my mother's fresh baked bread, well, then people are there smelling the bread. And when they go on that journey, then they forget all about objections and logic. They go along for the, you know, wonderful imagination process. So, yeah, right. It definitely opens up people's minds.
So it's kind of like, you know, television. How you say Charles Bronson playing 007. You know that he's not in danger, but the story pulls you in and you start to believe that he's actually going, you know, he's hanging mm-hmm. over a cliff or any of that stuff. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. Stories definitely will help to connect and communicate better. Jennifer, could you do one favor for me? Could you tell everybody how they can get in touch with you if they want to know more? The information's on the site, but I like to hear it out of your – you've got that nice sounding.
Well, you can get hold of me. Probably the best way to hold me is to shoot me an email, which is jen@jennifersamuelchance.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the email on the website, which is changing, and I'm in the process of updating all of my social media, so that's why I've given you a new address. There's also jen@worryfreespeaking.com. Or you can give me a direct call at area code 813-238-6845 and give me a call there, and if I'm out of the office, please leave me a message so I can get right back to you.
Outstanding. And ladies and gentlemen, that's either during the live show or even if you're listening at this in archive, because Jen is, again, she's very enthusiastic and loves what she does. And, of course, that's the type of person you want to work with, especially if stage fright is one of your things and getting your story out is something you're not that good at, and you could use some coaching. Plus that, she has international experience doing so. So I think she's the woman for the job. Okay, tell us more about the five critical points people miss.
So one final one, which, of course, I'll use a great example of how stories just can really make a leader's job easy. When you're not telling stories, you forget that it's not – the organization is always not just about you, even though your name may be, you know, the top of the food chain, so to speak. You can use stories to really impart the traditions – and also the organization's vision for the future. So if you have an organization that's been around for quite some time and it's successful for a certain reason, then what a lot of organizations have been doing, and I'll name one in a second that we know very well, they use stories that come from the leader and also, too, from the employees that work at the organization so mm-hmm. that they use them as teaching tools, just like I just described, so that people know exactly how things should be done. To get into the vision of the future, stories are used and best used, I use them all the time, Steve Jobs with Apple. When Apple was coming up with the iPhone, the first iPhone, if you go on YouTube, I think the video is there, the sales video that he did for his staff, where mm-hmm. he introduced, you have a phone, you have a camera, you have a this, you have a phone, you have a camera and this. And he just totally painted the picture of exactly the possibilities that this thing could do. And people watching that, I mean, I don't even know how much money Apple has right now, but, you know, that came from storytelling, purely from storytelling. So mm-hmm. people that work for Apple bought into the future, and customers around the world bought into the future just from the stories that came from Steve Jobs. So it's amazing
right.
how it can really help to transform your organization if the storytelling comes from the leader. So it's another key point that leaders miss out on, thinking that stories are all about them, and not really. It could be much more expanded.
Right, and I know the last time that we talked, you also shared something that I thought was really pivotal, and that was, like you just used Apple, is that
everybody thinks that he just got up there and did this impromptu speech, but he practiced that for months. He actually had a coach. He actually rehearsed that. He actually, you know, none of that was off the cuff. All of that was
right.
Him tuning himself, him finding somebody like yourself and using them to help him to convey that message. You know, when he said, what was it? You know what? Let me pull up my friend that owns, I don't know, a coffee shop and whatever, and he ended up ordering coffee for everybody there when he was showing a feature on the phone. A lot of people think that they can just do this impromptu thing, and I know you were saying that that was practice. That was him getting with someone and them helping him and him creating an entire environment, just like a movie.
Most definitely. Studies have shown that it takes 1 hour of preparation for every minute that you're speaking on a stage.
Right.
Let me let that sink in for a little while. So after a while, when you do learn the basic skills, of course, it gets easier and easier, so you may not need to spend as much time preparing for speeches. But it's with the misnomer that people think they can just get up there and wing it. Yeah, don't get me started on that one. So, yeah, it does take a lot of practice and skill, and the journey is a lot easier and quicker, saves you time and energy when you do work with somebody that's objective and can quickly tell you and give you advice versus trying to figure it out yourself. But it does take time and energy.
Outstanding. And, again, that's why we have people like you, and a lot of people just don't get the importance that that time they've got up there, they're making a huge impression, not only on themselves, but on their company, their brand, and their future. You know,
So,
my saying between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space, we have the ability to have a choice, and that choice lies our joy, our happiness, and our future. So it pays to invest in, ladies and gentlemen, a person like Jennifer that can help you to get where you want to get and to convey the message that you want to convey. Because a lot of us, we're actually conveying the wrong message, and it costs.
And you sometimes the wrong message, and you have no idea that you're doing it.
Yeah, because you don't have anybody but your yes men and your yes ladies there. telling you, it's
yes.
Great.
Oh, my God. Who will not tell you the truth?
Yes. So that impartial person that's actually there, not only because they're a professional at it, but because they actually want you to convey the correct message. Because, again, it's what you do. It's you. And, you know, you see yourself as a reflection if that person steps up to the next level, and then you're still there to help them to step up to the next level and the next level and the next level to where maybe they don't need your help anymore, but they still need that unbiased person to give them just a little bit more tweaking.
Correct.
Huge.
Well said. Well said.
Thank you. I'm working on it. I'm in training. So what else would you like to share with us? We've got like a minute left.
Well, I think a lot of it's already been said. I can't stress enough, and this is not a pitch for me. It has nothing to do with me. It doesn't really matter who you decide to work with. Sometimes we just need that outside help, that objective voice, the objective point of view to really help you hone your skills. And it brings to mind a phrase I heard from Donald Trump many years ago, where he said basically, you know, you've got these professional athletes, and all along their lives and their careers, they have coaches. And nobody says anything about that. They expect them to have coaches. Yet, when it comes to business and leadership, it is highly unusual, it's a lot more common now, I will say that, but it's highly unusual for leaders to have coaches. And he says, I don't get that, because the only reason that you get to be successful is to have somebody show you the way and encourage you, etc. So if Donald Trump believes in coaches, and I'm sure he does, whether you like him or not, he's extremely successful, the same thing applies whether it's business skills or speaking skills, and especially speaking skills where you lead others and you hope to get your organization to go to the next level, then it helps for you to be on your A game and do your due diligence so that you're the best, and then they learn from that.
Outstanding. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show and for, again, sharing your wealth of knowledge and experience with the listeners. You know, and because of you, we'll go from 38,000 to 30,000 soon.
Yay!
And thank you for inviting me. This has been an absolute privilege.
Again, it may be a privilege to you, but it's truly an honor for me. Thank you for your time and all of the great things that you do. And again, like I said, the class that I attended that you did, which was an all-day class, it helped me a lot, and I truly appreciate it.
Fabulous. That's what I like to hear.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like me to say? Because, you know, I'm here for you. No, I'm just joking. You're a true professional, and I appreciate it. So, ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Jennifer Samuels Chance, and again, she is the owner and creative founder of Your Endless Possibilities, Inc. And again, this lady is truly gifted and actually just a fun person to be around. We've had lunch once or twice, and it was pretty cool. She slummed up and came up to the Washington, D.C. area from that nice, warm Florida sun. Anyway, Jennifer, thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
You have a great
stay
day.
Stay warm up there. I think it's kind of cool up there right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little nippy, a little nippy.
Y'all can keep it. Thank you.
I'm going to leave it alone. I was about to go on an eye thing, but we're going to leave that one alone, too.
Okay.
You take care. I look forward to talking
okay,
to you
again.
Okay, you too. You let me know when we're going to talk again.
I will.
All right. Or when you're available to come on the show again. Thank you again for your time and presence. Truly appreciate it. Again, ladies and gentlemen, again, today you've been gifted with some really great information. Please share it with anyone and everyone that you think could actually use Jennifer's services or the information on the show as a whole. Again, we bring this to you to try to bring you quality information because there's a lot of people out there that are speaking, and you need to tell some stories, and you need to talk to a professional because you're not looking so good.
Behave.
Well, you take care. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show saying thank you for listening, and we wish everyone much success. Take care.